Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner speaking to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. I want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are joining us on the Internet around the world. Particularly want to welcome those of you from the Northeast Germany area who have been in contact with us, and those of you in India, Pakistan, Kenya, and Nigeria. And a few people from around the United States, too. We don't want to leave you out. Or those fine people up there in Quebec, Canada, who are now following us on Facebook. So we want to welcome you and say that we're glad to have you with us. In this session, we're going to be thinking on riches of the glory. Now, the riches of the glory, where our scripture will be found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. And Paul is writing here this letter to the Ephesians. And it says, starting with verse 15, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way." That, of course, is a reading of Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, and that is read from the New International Version, because we want to allow English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used. The riches of the glory. Think about that. The riches of the glory. This message will be a little more technical than most, but you will, I think, find it worthy of a little extra attention. You might easily ask, aren't all your messages important? It would be necessary for me to say yes, they are. Or at least, I'd like to think so. Comparatively, you know, It's kind of hard to compare these kinds of things, but comparative importance is not the point in my observation of the extra attention, but the bias many people come to this subject matter understanding. You know, we all have in our minds some sort of bias when you hear the word riches talked about. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. Many people, believers in Jesus the Christ and unbelievers alike, share the same view of riches and what constitutes riches. You know, Paul was saying here in verse 18 of our scripture, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Is it not interesting that the world system, which would be mammon, and God's system, which is blessing, would have little variance in understanding by people, whether believer or unbeliever? Now think about that. If you really listen to people in the workplace, on the street, in the marketplace, you're going to find that believer and non-believer have about the same idea as to what the systems are. They don't really see any difference. But my friends, I will tell you, there is a great difference between the mammon system and the blessing system. So what is riches? You know, riches is often the topic of conversation when two or more people get together. This being the case, it would be reasonable to think mammon would also find these conversations fertile ground to practice deception regarding riches and what constitutes riches. Remember that Jesus said, you know, where two or more are gathered together, in his name, he's there with them. Well, I will tell you, where two or more are gathered together in this world system, mammon will be there with them. Now, as believers, we need to be able to distinguish between one and the other and kick mammon out and just pay attention to what the Spirit of the Lord would be saying to us. Very important. The conversation might well include, among any of these people, but it might well include discussion and mention of all the things wished for if there were only more money. Have you ever said that to yourself? Oh, I'd like to have this if there was only more money. Oh, I'd like to be able to do this, but I can't because there's not more money. If you've ever been in a conversation like this, you're going to want to listen closely to what I'm about to say. There might even be envy on the part of one of those who could not afford what another was able to purchase easily due to their greater income. Have you ever had that happen? Maybe you felt it in your heart, or you've been able to get something somebody else couldn't have, and you could tell that there was just envy there. They were almost upset with you because you could have it. Or maybe it's been vice versa. Maybe you're almost upset with them that they could have something, and, well, what's wrong with me? How come I can't have that? Some believers in the discussion might begin to say things are not, say that things, let me stress the word things, are not a part of true riches. But spiritual matters held in higher esteem constitute true riches and were to be laid up in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt. Now that scripture that they would be quoting would be found in Matthew 6 verses 19 and 20. And they would say, well, now, true riches is what's up there in heaven, what we will be able to access one day. I'll bet you've heard that in discussion, haven't you? That's what true riches was. And this stuff here is just filthy riches, and all the rich people are miserable people. You've probably heard that, too. You've probably heard stories about the miserable rich. Well, let's look on a little further here. It is interesting to note that when Jesus was speaking at that time in Matthew, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasure up on earth. Why would he say that? Not to lay for yourself treasures upon earth. Now, immediately people would look at that and say, well, that means I'm not supposed to be interested in the things on this in this life. I'm supposed to be only interested in the spiritual things, those things that are ethereal out there in heaven someplace. I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying, let's take a look at this and look at it closely. Riches from heaven. You see, true riches comes from heaven. You say, oh, well, that's what we knew. So true riches comes from heaven, where he at that time said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Jesus went on to say, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, riches is a heart issue. And Scripture tells us God looks on the heart. Makes that very clear. God looks on the heart. God never meant for people to be holy by being in poverty. Let me say that again. God never meant for people to be holy by being in poverty. You see, the believer is righteous in Christ Jesus, not in anything they do with or without money, be it poverty or riches. Some people really get to believe in their heart that the poorer they are, the holier they are. Well, now you're saying your holiness comes from your efforts, from what you do. No, That's not where your holiness comes from. That's not where your righteousness comes from. It does not come from what you do if you're poor or what you do if you're rich. It comes from what Jesus did for you and I. That's where our righteousness comes from. So that if it does not come from being poor, now, granted, you might find yourself perhaps having a more vigorous prayer life if you can't pay your bills. You might find yourself talking more to the Lord. But trust me, there are people who are wealthy who have financial problems. They're just bigger numbers. But they still have the problems. Well, that being the case, gee, maybe being poor isn't holy any more than being rich is holy. What's holy is Christ. Very important to remember that. Now, let's look closely at verse 18 in our scripture. I want you to grasp verse 18. Now, I'm going to read it to you in the King James Version here. The eyes of your understanding. Now, the word understanding there is important. Being enlightened. Another important word there. That ye may know what is the hope, important word, of his calling. Another important word. And what the riches, big word here, because this is what we're focused on, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. When the Apostle Paul wrote this, he was actually praying. Do you realize that? He was actually praying when he wrote this. He was saying, I pray also that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, there's what the NIV translates. It's a very good translation of that. Paul wanted God to let them see in their understanding so that they would know the hope they had in Jesus and the riches of the glory. The riches of the glory they had inherited. Now, some may say, yes, but that is heavenly riches, and that is true. But heavenly riches are not confined to heaven. Let me say that again to you. Heavenly riches are not confined to heaven. Jesus said, when teaching the disciples to pray, he said these words, on earth as it is in heaven. Wow! We need to let God demonstrate his glory and riches through us here and not lock him up in heaven. It is the believer that is to be the conduit of God's flow here and now on earth. So when he said, on earth as it is in heaven, we have been left here to bring literally heaven to earth. When we give out the gospel, we are bringing heaven to earth. We are bringing the understanding of the heavenly blessing to people. That's very important. That's in the here and now. You say, well, that's fine, but that's still very spiritual. Yes, you're right. It is, and should be. You know, sure, you could still be skeptical about riches here and now, since many have been taught differently. So let's pull the word Paul used for riches apart. Let's do that. Let's pull that word apart here. Wealth is there, but some could say that is spiritual. Sure is. And spiritual is tangible as well. But the word for riches that Paul used when he wrote this letter was plutos. Now, plutos means wealth, as fullness of wealth. You know, we hear things about the scripture that God will open the lattice work of heaven and pour out a blessing we cannot contain. We hear about blessings shaken, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Well, now let's look at the next thing that word means, and it means it literally. It means wealth as fullness, and then it means money. It means possessions. And it means abundance, riches, valuable bestowment. Now listen to that word there, valuable bestowment, riches. Now let's think about something here for a minute. Remember he talked about the inheritance in the saints in that verse 18? What do you do to inherit what you get? What did you do? If you inherit something, what did you do to get it? Nothing. You inherit it because it was bestowed on you. Now, I can't get, for example, we have a fellow here with his name Chris. I cannot inherit what his father will pass on to him because I'm not in the lineage to get that. But when you're in Christ, you get everything that is Christ's. Christ is not poor. He is not trying to figure out how to feed you. His arm is not short. The storehouse of heaven has not run out of things. But many times, believers act as though it has. But it has not. You see, when we think like that, mammon has entered into our thinking and into our conversation. Now you say, okay, but I know about the miserable rich. Well, let me tell you, I know some very wealthy, rich people who are very miserable. And I know some very wealthy, rich people who are not miserable at all. Now let me tell you what the difference is. The difference is the miserable wealthy got their wealth through the mammon system. And when the mammon system is employed, you know what that means? That means you've always got to worry about moth and rust corrupting it because it's of the world. But if you've laid your treasure up in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt, and then the scripture tells us that God gives us the ability to get wealth, but it's through the blessing system, not the mammon system. But we're not taught anything about the blessing system. We know all about the mammon system and some people don't know how to add up their checkbooks, but we know how to keep track of things in the mammon system when we should be focused on the blessing system as believers. Because that is our inheritance. That is what has been bestowed upon us. And according to the word that Paul used, this means money, possessions, and abundance. That's the word Paul used. That's what it means. Okay? Now, money, possessions, and abundance. Now, am I saying that that's the be-all, end-all? Am I saying that you should go out and run out here and say, okay, God, give me a Rolls Royce. Give me a 10,000-square-foot house with, you know, 7 bedrooms and 7 bathrooms or 9 bathrooms or whatever? No, that's not what I'm saying. Now, am I saying it's wrong to have those things? Absolutely not. Because if I'm going to say it's wrong to have those things, then I have to say it was wrong for Solomon to have the wealth he had to build the temple. I have to say it's wrong for David to have had the wealth he had. I would have to say that it was wrong for Abraham to be the richest guy anywhere. But we don't think of that today. Today, we almost make excuses by saying, well, you know, I love the Lord, and I'm not into that money thing. I'm not after things. No, exactly. We shouldn't be after things. Because, you see, the things are ours by inheritance, not by our labor. Our labor is to be to go into the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in because they see the power of God flowing through us. And when we do that, we're working in the kingdom. And when you work in the kingdom, the scripture says that the workman is worthy of his hire. And that means that God will provide it. You say, well, I don't know. How will he provide it? I don't know how I provide it to you either. All I know is his word says he will. And my experience in life has been that he not only will, but he does, and he already has. Because each person listening to my voice already has a plan for their life that God had developed before they were born. Because he knew you in the womb, and he had plans for you when you were in the womb. Plans to prosper you, the scripture says. We must understand that we cannot confine God to heaven, because God, if we say, where is God? You say, oh, God is everywhere. Then why don't we treat Him like He's everywhere? Why do we behave toward God like He's hiding out someplace behind the moon? No, He's right here with us. And it is His desire to bless His people. Now, why would He want to do that? So that He gets the glory. So that people look at you and they are so amazed at how somehow you're able to make it when they're in the mammon system and they can't. And they see you lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. They are so compelled by not only the witness of your mouth, but the witness of your behavior and the activity that God passes through you to bring about His goals, that they come up to you and say, I don't know what you got, but I wanted to. That's how you go out into the highways and compels people to come in. You don't go out in the highway and hedges and compel people to come in by breaking their arm off and beating it over their head with their own bloody stump until they submit. That is not compelling people to come in. Compelling people to come in is when they find out that they have been in darkness all this time because there's more to life than they ever imagined, because the great deceiver, Satan, has put them into the mammon system and they have followed that system, which only leads to acquiring things and you die and leave it behind. Now, the beauty of the kingdom is you've laid up your treasure in heaven. Can't be stolen. Can't be corrupted by rust or moths. And when you go, it's still there. And the things that you enjoy here, you got by inheritance in Christ Jesus. Am I having you hear me? If you have ears to hear this. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. You remember that? He said, I won't leave you as orphans. If you were left as an orphan, who would be taking care of you? Who would feed you? Who would clothe you? Who would... You see, it is... I don't want to use the word more than spiritual, because it's all spiritual. But what I want you to understand is this. It is all spiritual. That means the things are spiritual. That means the prayers are spiritual. That means the healings are spiritual. That means all of this is spiritual. And transcends from the spiritual to the lattice work of heaven opening, and to such great inheritance for the saints, fills you to the point of overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now that, my friend, is riches. That's the riches that only God can supply. Because the other riches, the people spend all their time trying not to lose it. If you gain your riches in the blessing system, you know you can't lose it, so you're not worried about that. You're not concerned with that. What are you concerned about? You're concerned about the building of the kingdom. Now, why do you suppose that people have said, well, you're not supposed to have things, you're not supposed to have money? I'll tell you, my friends, it's just their excuse to make themselves feel good about their own life, because they're saying they're more holy because of something they've done, which means they are denying what Christ came for. You can't get any more holy than being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You just can't. There's nothing you can do. You or I cannot do it. He did it over 2,000 years ago. That's done. That's completed. When He said it is finished, it was finished. Now then, He wants us blessed here in this life, here and now. And He wants us blessed in eternity with Him. And it's all eternity to God. The here and now and the there and then is all eternity to God. That's the way it is, because He transcends that. You see, God bestows. Having sought Christ first, our accounts in heaven, then God bestows on us the inheritance of Christ. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't usually do. And some of you are going to go, oh, no. But this message is to be continued, because I can't possibly do it justice in just one session. But I hope I've jogged your mind, got you thinking. If you're somebody who's never accepted Jesus, let me tell you, my friend, you need to get in on the blessing and out of the mammon system. And the way you do that is you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you say, boy, I would like that. I've been beating my head against the wall. I've been doing the mammon system. You may even be a believer and you've been doing the mammon system. Most believers are, because nobody ever explained this. Nobody ever told them what the word riches meant, except to talk to them to say that it was something ethereal way out there someplace in one day and that sort of thing. But it's more than that, my friend. So if you've never accepted Christ, or if you have, and maybe you've kind of faltered by the wayside, you've slipped a little, but you say, no, I want that inheritance that I know is mine. Or you say, I've never had that inheritance. I've never been eligible for it, but I want it now. Think about it. If you think about the richest person in the world, what if you could say, well, I'm his son now, and you can inherit all of that? You see, in God's kingdom, you don't have to wait for anybody to die, because Jesus already did that. When he said it's finished, it's finished. So if you want these things from God, if you've never accepted Christ, or if you've slipped a little bit, you go to the throne with me right now. We can go boldly because the Scripture says we can. Heavenly Father, I come to your throne boldly in the name of Jesus. And I want all of Jesus in me. I want him to come into my heart and my life. I give myself to him. Send your Holy Spirit and fill me now in Jesus' name. I am so sorry for having ignored or avoided you. I come to you now in the name of Jesus, seeking everything that you want for me to do all you would have me do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you're in. Now you're going to need to learn about it. You know, when you were a baby, there were things that you had to learn. Your first 3.5 years, I'll bet you, if you think back all the things that you learned in your first 3.5 years of life, I'll bet you've never worked that hard since then. You think about it. What'd you do? You learned to, I mean, there was a day when your parents looked at you and said, oh, look, they turned over for the first time. You see, and then you learned to crawl, and then you learned to walk, and during that time you went from milk to pablum to something a little more substantial, and you finally got to the point that you could eat meat. You see, during that same time you learned to communicate, you learned to express yourself, and you learned to receive communication from others. Think about all the things that you learned in the first 3.5 years of your life. Well, now that you're in the kingdom, you're going to need to learn some things over the next 3.5 years, I would say. Jesus spent 3.5 years with his disciples. You're going to need, because you'll see some things one way, but maybe they're not exactly the way God meant. But there may be some way you've heard. You know, sadly, in the body of Christ, we allow the world to tell us how it was supposed to be. We actually allow the world and people who don't know to tell us what it's all about. Well, we'd like to help you. And if you would like some of that help, you contact me, The Sojourner, at sojournershub.org. That's The Sojourner at sojournershub.org. Send us an email. We'll get back with you. We'll do everything we can. We'll get information to you. We'll do all that we can to help you grow in the Lord and in the call that he has on your life. He already has a plan for your life. You can also contact me on Skype, that VOIP service, that Voice Over Internet Protocol service on the Internet, at The Sojourner 3734. And we'll be glad to work with you there. I hope this message has meant something to you, and we'll pick this up again the next time. So with this blessing, this will conclude our broadcast. The blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours, by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.